Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremble of cool, the feminine of this soon, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Good morning, boys and girls. How's it going? Everybody happy in their happy places, I hope. Tonight's episode of After Rot, we have George Todorovsky and Renee Vreens on board. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Doing good.
Yeah. Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
For me, it's always evening.
But more importantly, to begin off, how are your cookies?
They didn't have them at Tim Hortons today, at our Tim Hortons.
What?
Yeah, no smile cookies. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Totally.
Well, obviously, you guys are fellow Canadians.
Indeed.
Because I believe Tim Hortons is invading the U.S. I just don't think they're everywhere yet.
No. Yes, I've heard that. They're starting to open up in the States.
Especially in the northern states near our border.
Yeah. Surprised. I'm actually kind of surprised it's taken so long. You think by now, Timmy's so big up here. You think by now,
maybe the owners.
I think after they stopped having Canadian ownership, they started broadcasting rest of the world.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, what are you fine gentlemen do? I believe you guys are artists.
Yeah. Artist, writer. We're both artists, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, we've worked on a wonderful coloring book.
Tell us more about the coloring book.
Yes, absolutely. It's a sci-fi coloring book, and we're hoping that it's a little different than your usual coloring book. We got it filled with very detailed sci-fi illustrations. All the pieces are only printed on one side on high quality paper, so you don't have to worry about bleed through. It'll take markers as well, and of course, since it's only on one side, you can always, if you want to frame something you really like, you can just take it out. You don't have to worry about losing anything on the other side, right? So it's something we're really passionate about. Renee helped me, of course, choose a lot of the pieces. He's been the editor on the book. He's all the production assistant work, putting together PDFs, all that. So, we put a lot of work on this. I did a lot of new pieces specifically for the book. A lot of detailed sci-fi work. We're feeling great about it. And the Kickstarter is running right now. We just finished off the first week.
Yes.
We're already halfway, which is great. Sorry, what's that?
The Kickstarter address is https://www.kickstarter.com/projects/elsewhere-media/sci-fi/coloring, which, by the way, I appreciate the fact that you use Canadian spelling, dash book.
You got it.
You can also find on your Facebook page, right?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also follow my Instagram, some links. My Instagram is @GeorgeTodorovs. So it doesn't have the ski at the end. It ends with VS. It doesn't have the ski. KI. Just in the name title. Just make it a little bit shorter.
Sorry, I giggled.
It's still there on the book, ski. Ski? No more ski?
No, I giggled because the ski is off.
No ski.
Okay, so one of the things I noticed about some of your artwork is it screams a lot of heavy influence from Mobius.
Yes, yeah. I don't know, the amount of influences that I would actually list is huge. And it's not just comic artists, it's also anywhere
classic
from like
artists.
Fine artists to classic artists, Renaissance artists like Rembrandt. Oh yeah, he's amazing. But yeah, animators, Ralph Bakshi, I think probably had a bit of an influence on me.
Love Bakshi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's fantastic. But in terms of comic artists, the list is huge, and amongst them, of course, is Mobius, Bill Sienkiewicz, Kent Williams. Trying to think. Bill Willingham, Michael Golden, just a list, P. Craig Russell. I don't know, the list goes on and on, but definitely Mobius is up there. But there's one interesting thing that to this very day always makes me feel like, because once I discovered who he was and what he did, one of the reasons I was turned on to Mobius is friends of mine kept saying, you got to check out Mobius. His stuff reminds me of yours.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually being compared to Mobius before I even knew who he was. And that to me it just feels amazing, right? Like it's like an amazing thing. Once I found out who he was, it felt amazing. But it took a while before I realized the scope of what he did. And, you know, and the funny thing is, the very first thing they showed me, I went, "That's all right." and then I saw Arzak, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And then I saw the comparison a little bit at that time because I was really heavily into like line work, detailed stuff. And when I saw the Arzak stuff, I was just like, "Wow, this stuff's amazing!" And then I was hooked. And even the first thing that I saw that I was like, it's not bad, you know, sorry. Like later, I saw qualities in it that I just didn't hit me right away. It's like he's amazing, right? It's just like,
absolutely.
It was the more simplistic, yeah.
He's got and, the layers thing going on and everything else like that. Sorry, I've met you in real life and I've seen your artwork there, and that was one of the first things I said is your artwork reminds me a lot of Mobius.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. And I do remember that. Yeah. And the other thing that we have in common in an interesting way is that since almost the age of 12, I love to experiment with different styles. So that I would actually always, you know, I've actually got a repertoire of all these different styles that I do, and I still experiment and play around with other ones. And mine do range from simplistic detail, you know, more stylized to pseudo photorealism especially when I get painterly in Photoshop and all that kind of stuff. So it's like I experiment a lot with styles, and that's the other thing that I realized when I didn't catch it right away. I thought they showed me one thing, I thought that was Mobius. That's not the case. You got to see 3, 4, 5 things. Then you kind of get an idea of who Mobius is. You know, it's like he too was very heavily into experimenting with different styles and you know, that and different, well, mostly sci-fi, but you know, he play around with the genres a little. And of course he did start off with the Western
Blueberry. Yeah,
thank you.
Oh, well, yeah,
yes, he did start off with Blueberry, but that was again a different style, right? So yeah, he's amazing. He's just amazing.
Blueberry,
and as an artist, obviously you do experiment a lot.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah absolutely. Quite a bit. We tried to keep, and that's what, you know, Renee was helping me pick the right ones as well with the coloring book. We tried to keep that somewhat consistent in terms of, because I do different styles. Mm. Okay. We were leaning towards the more detailed sort of line, you know, obviously black lines because it's coloring book, but yeah, the more detailed line work kind of style. We do have a few in there that are, you know, a little, you know, not as robust, I guess you could say, in the detail, but a lot of it is towards that. That's sort of the general aesthetics. When you flip the book, it's detailed sci-fi, you know. Yeah. So, but we did change it up here and there, right? So just to mix it up a little, but that's the general feel, I'd say. So with this is it is one where, so whatever project I work on, I do keep it consistent for that project. Like obviously, like when I worked on Octana and Co. For Yuri,
recently. Yuri's book.
Yes. Yeah. I guess we can talk about that a little bit too. It's just fantastic.
Absolutely.
I love that story. Fantastic colorist as well. Angel RD is, I guess that's his coloring name. He's a great pseudonym, I guess. He's a great colorist. I enjoyed this story before I even was on the book. I actually did an alternate cover for, actually the main cover on issue 2. So an alternate cover for issue 1. Ty Temple did the main cover for issue 1, which is, you know, it's awesome to be part. Awesome being part of the same project that Ty Templeton is part of. You know, it's like, I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. So like, so we both did a cover for the same book. And I can say that, right?
You can say that. I've seen both covers because I've had both copies.
Yes. And so that's pretty awesome. And then he got me to do the main cover for issue 2. And it's interesting because I was really enjoying the concepts of the story. And like the more involved it got, the more like I liked the first issue, but I liked the second issue even more because it got more involved and I got to see more of what he was trying to do. And I was like, oh, okay, this is deeper. You know, this is going further than I thought it would, right? This is interesting. And then I thought to myself, and I literally thought to myself not long before he contacted me, and you know, this might even be an interesting, this would be a fun book to draw. This would be an interesting book to work on. And then like not long after that, he like contacts me and goes, hey, did you want to draw issue 3? And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then when I read for the script for issue 3, it got even, like, it just gets more involved and cooler. The concepts become cooler. Well, it's out now, so I could say there's aliens in issue 3, which you only got a hint. So, and really cool aliens. But it's, I think you got hints in the second, I can't remember. Yeah, you got hints of it in the first 2 issues. And you're wondering, what is this? Is this something, this is something weird? You know, the stuff in the water, the... And then it goes full blown in issue 3, and in issue 4 I've now read as well, and it's my favorite of the 4, and I'm drawing that now, so I've already got two pages done for it already. So that's a great book to work on. It's out now. The Kickstarter is over and very successful, and I'm not sure where it's available right now, but just contact Yuri.
Well, here, it's kind of hard to get it anywhere. Because he's got to get to different. Because he, one of the things is he markets it directly himself to comic book shops.
Yeah.
So I mean, my shop, I carry it every once in a while, but I haven't seen 3 or 4 yet.
Yeah. Well, four's not out yet. I've only done a couple of pages of it, but 3 is done and it's out. Looks. It turned out great. The printing turned out great. Coloring's great. Yeah, all that. Everything's great.
Are there any other projects you've worked on that you're very positively enthusiastic about?
Took a while since I did the artwork for the newest issue of Amazing Stories. Yeah. Yes, they were looking for funding for it, I guess, through the Kickstarter, and it took a while before they started the funding campaign. But now it's been fully funded, and I'm looking really forward to seeing it. So I did interior artwork for the cover story for Amazing Stories magazine, which is pretty awesome. I mean, now it's even the TV show's back now. It's a pretty acclaimed magazine. I was thrilled to get a gig on it. I was just like, wow, this is fantastic, right?
Yeah, very long history.
Yeah, very long history. Yeah. Spielberg, of course, did the TV show back in the 80s. I think he's still attached to the new one too, right?
He's definitely attached to the new one, yeah.
Yeah, the new shows as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty amazing. But that's pretty amazing.
It's amazing, yes.
It's so amazing.
Now, while I have it on screen, I have to comment on one of the images involved on your Kickstarter, because I like it. Portents.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit on the heavily detailed side there.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit. I love the original, black and white art like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
The original is large. It's 28 inches by 20 something. And
20. Yeah. I think it's 22 by 25.
Okay. It makes it a little easier to work on those details.
It took me, 3 weeks, many hours a day. Yeah. So I never counted the hours, but three weeks worth. So I'm sure it was quite a few. So the original piece is big, and it's a limited sort of an exclusive print on the Kickstarter. It's limited run. There's only so many. I think only 50 available. I think that's it. Maybe 40.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, so there's not too many available on the Kickstarter. It only comes with certain tiers.
Explain a little bit more of the tiers, because I was looking through the tiers as well, and I saw a couple of the tiers like, hey, that actually looks cool with the coloring book and then the art book that you had put out before, Sci-Fi Design, and the other one.
The other one is literally called The Book.
There you go.
It's an anthology. I wanted a title basically where I could do anything under that title. And the point being is that it's an anthology. And I don't want to restrict it to any particular genre. And it's actually kind of fulfilling something that I started when I was 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. In high school, I wanted to do an anthology called The Book, right? Mm-hmm. I was going to call it The Book. And I had, and even the intro has a similar quality. I wanted this like biblical feel to the intro. Mm-hmm. So I even had I still have a page somewhere that's partially done with the first page, like, you know, kind of in the beginning, there's darkness kind of thing, right?
Gotta have a Bible.
Yeah. So in the, there's sort of a play on that at the beginning. There's a poetic intro and outro, but it's almost like more like the Bible of comics, talking about the page of the white that needs to be filled. So it's kind of cool. The white of the page that needs to be filled with stories. That's mm-hmm. kind of the idea. So it's kind of a neat, you know, like the creation of this of the universe of stories, I guess, is kind of what it's hinting at, right? So it starts off with kind of a poetic intro, and there's a poetic outro, and it's short stories, and so it's a book of short stories, including one I did republished that I did for Heavy Metal Magazine. So that's also in there.
Heavy Metal Magazine.
Yep.
We love them.
They're awesome. Yes. And so it's a very, very, I'm very proud of that book. It's a very cool book. And what's really cool about it is there's about 16 stories. They're, again, all short stories. They range from one page to like around 20, some odd pages. And I use a different art style for every story that's in there. So that kind of makes it unique in that respect. So I'm changing each art style to suit each story. So that book is also available on a tier in the Kickstarter.
A few tiers.
Along with the coloring book. And also, as you mentioned, the art book, sci-fi design, not coloring book, but design.
Yes.
The Fantastic Works of George Todorovsky, which is actually based on the first art book that I ever bought, which is the Fantastic Works of Frank Frazetta. I wanted
Frazetta
to
is that awesome. Phrase.
Yeah, thank you. I thought that's the first book the first art book I ever owned. I believe my friend sold it to me or gave it to me. I think I got it from Chris. I'm pretty sure I got it from him. I'm pretty sure, but from memory. And I don't know.
Well, I know you didn't buy it from me.
Probably not. And either that or we made a trade with certain books. I remember I did that with some people.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I wanted to pay homage to that. That being like the first art book I owned that I absolutely loved. It fell to pieces by the time I was done with it. It was all the pages ripped out. But So that's also available is my art book, which is again you get to see a variety of my styles in there. It's designs I've done for games, for other comics. There's actually a cover in there from The Regulators. That's why I have Renee here, by the way.
The Regulators. What are the Regulators?
Yeah. The Regulators, even though it sounds just like it's not. It
sounds like one of the Marvel knockoffs.
It's actually a very cool book. It's kind of an homage to John Carter of Mars in many ways. It's a pretty cool book. You can look it up on I'm trying to remember the name of the site that has it.
Not to be confused with Stephen King's.
What's that?
Not to be confused with Stephen King.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind. Obviously. Nothing to do with that. This is a sci-fi. It takes place on Mars. There's sort of civil unrest. There's aliens who live there who are being infringed upon.
Hey, look, I found it.
It's pretty. You found it, really?
Yeah.
Visionary Comics, yeah.
So, Visionary Comics. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Regulators. The writer is Jeff Lau. Awesome to work with. He gave me a lot of freedom. It was great. And then he just kind of viewed it as a joint project because I kind of designed everything pretty much, right? So it's like, it's like a 50-50 kind of feel is the way he kept like expressing, like, this is our book. Right? So it was an awesome project to work on. And I was very happy with the way it turned out and stuff. Why did I bring up the regular?
The cover of that is in.
The cover of that is in the art book. Yep. So there's some comic work. There's actually unpublished comic work as well that from books that I
that I'm still thinking about working on, but yeah, ones that are in progress in a sense. But also stuff I've done for television, Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, actually is a show I worked on as well. So that's also in the art book. Just a couple of still images. That was actually a lot of fun. I co-designed some of it, but some of it I totally designed, but so it was back and forth, right? Because they would suggest stuff, right? So I did design work, illustration in like Photoshop, like painted, digitally painted stuff in layers that I would then animate. And once I do it in all these layers and animate these layers, it kind of gives it almost a three-dimensional, like a 3D effect. Some people actually thought it was 3D, and I was like, no, it's 2D. Yeah. Actually, the people at Through the Wormhole were really impressed. They were like,
I swear.
Yeah, he did swear. Yeah, now I can swear?
You can swear.
Well, I'll edit myself anyway, but
it's okay. Swearing is fine. We're all adults in this room.
All right. I'll say it just the way they said it then. So the company I was working for, also very great people, A Secret Plan Studios, they sent me a letter from one of the guys. Maybe I should be saying this. Is bad to like, no, because I'm saying, oh, they use foul language with us. But anyway, some guy from... they're just expressing what they thought, right?
Yeah.
They sent a message to them when they saw the clips that I worked on, the animated segments. And then they said, you got to read this, so we're sending it to you, right? You got to check out the email that we got from the Through the Wormhole people, right? Once they got the finished renders. And the guy wrote back saying, holy shit, I did not even know this was possible.
There you go. You can't beat that kind of feedback.
Yeah, ooh. I was like, wow, that's awesome. That was the coolest story I ever heard. I was like, yeah, that's so awesome. And so it's because they were looking for 2D stuff, and they said, can you make it look more realistic? Can you make it somehow look a little more three-dimensional? And so I did the best I could, and apparently they were very impressed. So, because like I said, some people thought it was 3D, like parts of it anyway, right? So,
how long ago was that?
Through the Wormhole? How long did it go?
6-7 years now.
Really? How long ago?
I think so. Was there so many shows now on that?
Time is a weird thing.
Yeah.
Time is definitely a weird thing.
Yeah, we can check later, I guess. But it could have been 6-7 years ago, according to Renee.
Okay.
But, yeah. Remember seeing it better than me sometimes. Yeah. It could have been 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But it's on the episode. I'll tell you what it is, though. It's on the episode, Can We Survive the Death of the Sun? And it's the segment on black hole engines that I did. And another segment on terraforming Mars. So those.
Why
are the two
would segments. We want to terraform Mars? Isn't Mars pretty enough as it is?
Yeah, it is pretty.
Nice and red.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Like my nice big beach.
Yeah. Great. We could always build underground on Mars.
Well, yeah, we just have to find enough water to be able to sustain everything, right? Oh, wait, have that ice cap.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, I remember thinking years ago, they're talking about, looking for water on Mars. I'm like, what about the ice caps? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Hello? Yeah. Hello?
That's a popular sci-fi thing where it's like, yeah, nuke the ice caps, melt it all, and it'll broadcast throughout everything, and then bam, you have a terraformed planet.
Yeah, like, it's interesting because they actually say,
your segment is about polluting, in a sense, by you having the machines run...
Yeah, carbons. What do they call it? Something? Yeah, fluorocarbons or something?
Fluorocarbons, yeah.
Yeah, no, into the atmosphere.
Yes.
Yep. Learn something every day. Yeah. And fluorocarbons into the atmosphere to slowly change it. Yep. Yeah, like my thought is like on Earth, you can like take a chunk of ice and thaw it, melt it, and you'll suddenly get these microbial life to life. Yeah. Like you'll get these microbes and all this kind of stuff. Bacteria. Yep. And bacteria and stuff come to life. From a dormant stage.
Mm-hmm. And stuff that they have lasted for like millions of years, they're finding up in the Siberian Arctic.
Exactly. There you go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So who's to say, and I don't know why they haven't done this. This would have been the first thing I would have done. If I sent a probe to Mars, I would like land right by some ice, grab a chunk of ice, melt it, analyze it, see if there's anything that comes to life in it. Like I don't understand. Like,
well... That's the next Mars probe that's actually en route or on design for 4 years from now or whatever.
Yeah, a while, but yes, that is correct.
February.
Well, they want to bring a piece back, And yeah. I've seen this movie, and it does not end well.
Touché.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. But it's amazing how long it took for them to finally. It's like, we're specifically just looking for ice. I'm sorry, for light.
Right? Yeah.
One that exists either now. Oh, yeah. I mean, sorry, that may have existed in the past or it may even exist now. Interesting. And around the exact same time that the military releases this footage of
UFOs.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, interesting timing. Yes, and we're looking. We better hurry up, guys. Yes, we're looking for light. Yeah, there might actually be some life on there. We're going to check. Oh, we don't really think it is, but it could be.
And you've heard recently about Venus?
Yes, that's amazing, too. Yeah. In the atmosphere.
There was in the atmosphere.
That there might be life in the atmosphere. Like, right.
It might all be microscopic and bacterial and viral or whatever, but yeah. It's still potentially life. There.
Yeah, and that's actually a theory they've had for a long time. They wondered if that's possible. Yeah, and but now they're actually found evidence, and they're still seeing if it's something else.
Yep.
But a lot of it points to there being possibly some sort of bacterial life. This is the closest you've actually come now. But I have a feeling they might find something on Mars if they're doing it legit and trying their best to actually look for life this time. Yeah.
As long as they don't start saying ack.
Yes,
we don't want that one.
We'll have to go get that yodel singer then to explode their heads.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the guy's album. I don't remember what it was.
The singer.
High pitched the singing, blew up their heads, right?
Yeah, it was the one guy singing was like, oh, whatever. Very amusing movie.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Right? Tim Burton, right?
Tim Burton.
Too much fun. Yeah. I can't believe they're bringing back Tim Burton Batman.
Oh.
Well, never.
Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's going to be appearing in the new...
in the one TV show.
Yes.
No. Actually, I heard he might actually be like reappearing. Like he's in multiverse. What's the name of the actor again? I can't remember his name.
Tim Patterson is the current guy, but the Keaton one was Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, So Michael Keaton might actually be like, he might appear first in the Flash.
Correct. The Flashpoint story.
That's correct, right? So he's from he's from another universe, obviously. But supposedly he might be the character that sort of appears in each film. They compared him to sort of the these are a bunch of stuff that I've read. So.
Yeah. Well, there's. DC has got a lot of things going on right now.
So he might be connecting a few films by appearing in more than one. And that's what I heard, but who knows? Right?
Yeah. And it's given to change at any given month.
Yeah.
So I have to say that Patterson, that trailer looks amazing.
The trailer looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does.
I'm excited about that again.
Yeah, me too.
As opposed to little teasers that they released a little while ago, it's like, that doesn't look good, but this trailer looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm like, if that's the feel and the vibe, I'm like, well, I'm in.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll be honest. I don't know what you think about. What did you think about the trailer for the Justice League?
The Rob Snyder cut.
Oh, the Snyder cut.
Rob Snyder cut. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rob Snyder cut. Yeah, let's watch that. You can do it.
The Zack. That's it.
Zack Snyder. Yes.
Yeah, Zack Snyder. It's not Rob.
Rob Snyder is that guy in the Adam Sandler movies that says you can do it.
Well, hey, maybe he's working on one too. Yeah.
You never know. Stranger Things.
Maybe he's like putting it together in his basement right now.
Yeah.
Making villains.
Well, gotta make lots of villains because that's the whole point of it.
The Batman's third
making film. I'm looking forward to that one as well, to be honest. That's what I was getting at.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad. I've been hearing and seeing some good stuff about that as well. So,
I have like 18 different bad guys as the squad, and I'm sure half of them are going to die in the first half an hour.
Yeah, but, I think that's that's what there's so many. That's actually what I predicted as well. I mean, I think you're right. There's so many. Like, I'm hearing all these characters in there. I'm going, okay, I don't know what's going to happen.
Who the hell is TKO?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's Nathan Fillion's character.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's, I mean, he's It'd be nice to have him as a sort of a regular in the DCU. It sucks they would get rid of him if he's one of the guys they get rid of. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. And I can't believe they've got Peacekeeper. That's crazy. And he looks good. Like, he looks so much yes. like the drawings.
Yeah.
I've always kind of liked that character because he's kind of out there, right? But it's kind of cool. At the same time, that weird helmet that they actually got pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. The only problem was with me is I almost imagined, which I always thought was cool in the comics, and which maybe it was, I'd have to look again. I almost imagined it was almost this transparent dome over another dome. Does that make sense? Like,
sort of like an armor on top of an electronic suite?
Well, sort of like imagine like you've got the helmet, right? That's sort of form fitting, kind of like a Batman-esque without the ears, right?
Or the coal on the eyes.
Yeah, just over the eyes, the mouth open and stuff, right? And then over that, you get a second helmet that's transparent. That's kind of the way I viewed it, the way they drew it in the books. Oh, okay. And I always thought that was the coolest thing. Like, he's got this like transparent dome that protect like a bulletproof dome over his helmet, in a sense, right? And it's also halfway, kind of. It stops before the mouth area, right? Yeah. So, which made it kind of cool looking. Mm. And then when I saw it in the movie, I was going, I wonder if that's the way they intended in the comics. Like, it's just this weird shaped helmet rather than the inside and something over it. Yeah. But I always thought that was such a cool design. That kind of I'd have to look at drawings of him again to see. Yeah. Maybe it is more like that in the comics. So they do change that, right? But it's still very close. It's very. It still looks a lot like him. It's pretty cool.
It is cool. So. Yeah. Back to a little bit more of the coloring book and art in general.
Oh, yes, that's correct.
Let's go a little bit about process. So when you're approaching a art piece or an art project, do you have a specific methodology to approach? How are you going to do this?
Yeah, basically, I tend to... I think there's some stuff that repeats, but generally I tend to change my methodology with a lot of the projects I do depending on the project. If I'm doing a comic, I even have more than one way of doing stuff. Sometimes I'll
absolute.
Yeah. So sometimes of course, if I'm working with somebody else, obviously it's very much different than if I'm doing something on my own. With Fury, it's he'll give me the script, and then I'll pencil a page, and I'll literally go straight to the pencils because I got this problem with I like capturing with everything I do. I always like capturing the first thing that I sort of create because sometimes you lose stuff when you go from sketch to pencils to inks. This will lead up to other ways I work actually. You lose stuff along the way, right? With Yuri, I would do the finished pencils, and luckily he's rarely wanted changes. And if they were, it's like one panel. It's like, could you make this expression like this instead, and that's it, right? But there was almost none of that. Like, I remember maybe two changes in the entire book, and they're minor, right? He was always like, wow, oh my god. he's so appreciative.
Effusive.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I love working with that guy. He's a great guy. Anyway.
Yes.
And he obviously really enjoys my work and stuff, which is that's a great combination, right? You work with somebody who really likes what you do, right? So that's a great process right there. But it's once he okays the pencils, then I go to inks. But I've actually experimented just because I love the idea of not losing stuff along the way. So with comics and even with my artwork, I'll sometimes forget about not even layouts or pencils. I even forego pencils and we'll just draw straight in ink. Like, I'll just have an idea and I'll just start and I'll, work it out as I go. And there's actually a few pieces in the anthology. I do it with comics as well. I've done it with comics where I'll decide to just, let's try doing this straight in ink, right?
Right.
Some
of the ones in the coloring book also.
Yeah, some of the ones in the coloring book. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. And we're done that way. Not too many though in the coloring book. I don't think. I think just very few. I believe. I'd have to check it again. But
there's 28 images in the coloring book from what I can see on the Kickstarter.
Yeah, I would say maybe three or four of them. I'd have to look through to be sure. Maybe there's more. I don't know. We're done that way. Where. And some people, like, I don't think you could tell. Like, it's So there's actually one in particular that's one of the more detailed ones in there that was done straight in ink. Like, I just challenged myself. It took me 3 days to do it. So. Nice. and the reason, and it wasn't even, it took me 3 days. Well, one, because it is intensive. There's a lot of detail. But also, because I was doing it straight in ink, I would do, you know, I'd work on it for 2-3 hours, whatever it was. Again, I don't really keep track of time. And then I'd be like, I feel like I'm losing it. Let's stop now. So then it's like I wait till the next day because, you know, I'm doing straight ink, right? You don't want to screw up. So the next day, I'll work on it until I get that feeling like I better stop now. And then finally, got to that point and stopped. And then on the third day, I was hoping I'd get it done on the third day. And luckily, I had that momentum that, I was able to do it all the way through without that feeling of, oh, let's put it aside. You know,
work on it later. To put it a little bit in perspective for the non-artist types, though doing it in pencils is so that you can correct things, but when you do it straight in ink, there are no correcting.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct.
That is correct. No correcting.
No correcting? That is correct.
Correct. So correct. I'm assuming most of the artwork you do is straight physical piece of paper, piece of thing making.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I wouldn't say most. I love doing stuff straight in ink, but I always have to be I have to be in the particular mindset to do that.
Right.
I do it often enough, mind you. Like, I do it, as I said, like in the book, the graphic novel, there's one story in the book, for example, called Stratum. Stratum? That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Is how many pages? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah, it's like, well, I know that the first 14 and a half pages of that were all drawn straight in ink. Mm-hmm. But then I took a break between, like, for almost 2 years because I was working on other stuff, and then I went back to finish it for the graphic novel, right? And at that point I decided, you know what? Let's just get it done so I can get the book done on time. Let's pencil the rest. So then the last 4 or 5 pages I penciled, right? So I think it's close to 20 pages, I think. So the last 4 or 5 pages I penciled, but still keeping it, you know, the same style, but it's hard to, you know, I don't think you tell. Like, it's one of those things where it was such a good flow that it all just feels consistent, right? So, but that's an example of where I did stuff standing. I do often pencil stuff first, especially if I'm working with someone else, because I need them to okay the pencils.
Right.
So yeah. So with Yuri, everything's penciled first. You know, I will sometimes do some loose pencils here and there, and he'll get the idea, and then I'll fill in a lot of the details. That's happened a lot of times, actually, but they're there. You can still see generally what's going on. You can see the expressions well enough. You know.
Cool.
But yeah, so I do, again, I do both, right? So.
But do you do any digital?
What's that, sorry?
Do you do any digital?
I do indeed. I've done digital comics, digital painting. What's great about digital is you don't need to pencil anything first.
Make a mistake and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. You can go to town with the errors and all. So there's digital, again, digital paintings in the art book, digital comic. There's two digital stories. The one actually in the book, a graphic novel, there's actually the story I did for Heavy Metal magazine was all done digitally, so digitally painted. So,
excellent. Yeah. And when you say the book, do you use air quotes around the the book?
No, just no. Book. No, it's
just not book. The book.
Book. No. I don't know. Or maybe it's the book. I don't know.
Because every time you say it, I keep thinking air quotes the book.
Yeah.
Air quotes. I'm amused.
You'd be far off when you say it. Yes.
Yeah, the book. I guess to be specific that this is the title I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about the coloring book or the graphic novel.
Exactly.
So
your Kickstarter is due to finish on when?
October 8th.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So we have 18 days to go to get in on the action of your awesome artwork.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm pushing it.
That's very nice.
Yes, absolutely. That's good. Keep pushing it.
Well, that's what the whole thing is.
We're enjoying you pushing it. We're listening.
I'm not going to say any more on that. Because that's just, I don't, no, what? Moving along.
I thought we were all adults here.
Huh?
I thought we were all adults here.
We are. Okay. But I love innuendos, so I'll make many of them.
That's right, believe it. Yeah, is there a way we can give them, oh, you already gave a, we could give the URL again.
The URL. We can always repeat it again. It is https://www.kickstarter.com/projects/elsewhere-media/sci-fi spelt SCI-FI-coloring the Canadian way with the gosh darn you in it. -book.
Awesome.
Okay. So, now.
Oh, wait, is there, where you're playing this? Can you put like a link where you're playing this? Like, I'm not sure where this is. It on YouTube? No, it wouldn't be on YouTube.
Well, it'll be broadcast live, and then at the same time, I'll put it in my archive, so you'll be able to share it as well.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Perfect. That's fantastic.
But still going on to the next phase. So, COVID has put a big kink in everybody's efforts to try and do stuff.
Yeah, right.
Taking out of the picture COVID, how would people normally meet you to find more about your product?
At your
flea market across from your shop, we would have set up tables.
Yeah, we miss going there, man.
Me too. Yeah, flea market's still there, but the artist alley is kind of on a... Let's put that on hold for a bit.
Okay.
Like every other convention.
Yeah, that's where we would have been, but as you know, then everyone, all those are canceled.
Yeah, so a lot of, we used to do conventions so regularly and signings at comic shops as well. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of those. It's too bad.
So what are some of the places that you used to go to that we'll probably go to again after COVID is...
Well, definitely we'll be hitting is comic shops for sure. We'll be doing Heroes World. Yep. Awesome people there at Heroes World.
There's a comic shop. Yeah, the place, a company called Pop Culture Canada. They put on a lot of small shows all across Southern Ontario, and so we get a lot of those shows.
Yeah, David Wildstar organizes those.
Yes.
Great guy. Those are great shows. Mm-hmm. We also trying to think of other Stadium Comics. There's another place we love doing shows at. He's had some great shows there.
Heroes World.
Heroes World I mentioned. There's so many places, and of course conventions, as many conventions as we can hit, small, big. Yeah. You know,
the big one, Fan Expo.
The March,
March is
the
Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah.
We did those regularly every year, and we do have some of our stuff though. We did have some of our stuff in stores as well, whether on consignment. But a lot of stores actually were nice enough to even just purchase them.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Who was it? I can't remember.
We have the Gotham.
No. Oh, Gotham Central is great too.
Yeah.
This place is far out, Kingston.
Kingston, Nexus,
Adam,
Michael and Adam that went back to
the store. We did a couple shows there, even though they're really far out. But they just supported our Kickstarter. They got their retailers reward. So did Heroes World as well.
Yeah. Nice.
So, great guys there as well. So, but a lot of these places we would. That's the kind of stuff we would do regularly, and it was those times where we did one a week, regularly. It was crazy how busy we got for a while before the pandemic kicked in, which was great.
Right? Well, I know at my Artist Alley project, I was having you guys come in about once a month or so now, and that was getting a pretty good steam.
That was awesome. Yeah. Artist Alley was, I love that. That was a lot of fun, and it was great because it was available, it's like we could, between other shows, we could always go there, great, always great people there, other people who are, exhibiting their work and all that. It's really cool, really cool project, I guess.
Well, thank you. But that's one of the things I've always loved about the comic book industry. It's very open, very easygoing. You just talk to people, and it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those are the days. Let's hope they come back one day.
They'll be back. Have no fear. I've seen the future. I know it will happen.
Nice.
Yeah. We'll all be wearing masks.
Yeah, could be.
Well, the funny thing is, you watch some sci-fi movies now, it's like you recognize and you see it in the background. They're all wearing masks. Underworld was a movie I watched a little while ago, and it's like this movie is like 10 years old. The background of people are all wearing masks.
That's interesting.
It's scary. Huh.
Well, you know, I got to do is start doing some research on that. Maybe it's something that's been like sort of suggested in many films. You never know.
It's definitely
something that conspiracy theories could be built around.
Oh, the conspiracy theories are going to build around everything. But this has been a popular component in China for a while.
Yeah, that's true. That's wearing masks.
It's not just about diseases. It's about respiratory and stuff as well.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. It's strange times we're living in, basically.
Absolutely. So, is there anything else you guys want to talk about in general? I mean, do you have a favorite movie coming out that you're looking forward to? TV show?
TV shows,
books?
Movies. I don't know if you've read any of this, but I think you already know that I'm a fan of, and so is Renee here, of Matt Wagner.
Yep.
He's been doing this. Yeah. Grendel, the new Grendel. God, I can't, like, each book is so, like, engaging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
it's such an awesome read. But there's only been, what, 3-4 issues?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it stopped because of the pandemic. And I'm like, oh, God, come on, bring it out. And so we're waiting, we're both actually waiting for the next issue. Yeah. And every time I finish one, it's like, God, I can't wait for the next one. It's beautiful looking too. I think definitely Matt Wagner and Brendan Wagner at the top of their game. They're just, some of the layouts are just gorgeous. Some great beautiful double page spreads and just layouts.
I totally feel your pain on it, because when the COVID hit, it's like, I'm waiting for this one. Oh crap, I'm just gonna catch up on my reading list.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing how many things kind of stop and put on hold. But this is actually one of the reasons that this is, because we've talked about doing a coloring book for a while. Like even before the art book, I think we discussed it, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I think, or around that time or something. It was a while ago. But it's like, now that so many people are spending more time at home, it's like, this is the perfect time to, you know, get it out there and stuff, right?
Yeah. Interactive productivity.
You get, you know, you can color, you know, you can do something enjoyable and stuff when you're hanging at home.
It's participation.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the exercise.
What's that, sorry?
It's participation without the exercise.
Exactly. That's right. Yes, that's yeah, so we're done. So we're happy about the book.
Excellent. Would you like to give out your Instagram handles again, and Facebook and whatever else, stalk and follow me stuff?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. My Instagram is at George Todorovs, spelled GeorgeTodorovs. So Todorovs, yeah, so no K-I, just ends on the S. I'm not sure what my I think it's George Todorovsky 1. Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/George Todorovsky1. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, Renee's looking it up right now. While he's looking that up, I'll talk a little bit more about my process.
Excellent.
So we were mentioning art, how it sometimes goes straight in ink. I mentioned this to you before. Sometimes when I work on comics, my own comics, I'll even do the same with the writing, where I'll write just as I go straight in ink with the art, I'll write it as I draw it and come and let that inspire the next, sort of a stream of consciousness. So
I've done that. In the writing world, we call that pantsing.
Pantsing? What's that?
As opposed, you're a plotter or you're a pantser. The plotter takes all the time and says, okay, it's going to happen here, it's going to happen here, it's going to happen here, it's going to happen here. Yeah. And a pantser says, I'm beginning here, I'm going to get over there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of, I guess it's more of a panzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that process because then everything is 100% organic. It goes like literally the art, and it's even better if I do that with writing and art, where I'll not only write it, but I'll draw straight in ink as well. So then it's like the entire thing is just this fluid, organic process. Unfortunately, you have to be really in that head, like I have to be really in that headspace to be able to do that. I do believe, although I kind of had the ending early on, but because that's what happens, right? Well, as you start to do that, sometimes your brain just goes ahead and just kind of finishes it. But for the piece that I did mostly in ink, for example, in the book, the Stratum piece, that's kind of the way that happened. I just started it, and I thought I had a general idea of kind of what I wanted to do visually and just go with it. And then I had this ending come to me as I was doing it. But it's a great process because it's very organic. It's very fluid. And then sometimes, of course, the opposite happens. Well, I'll try to do that, but then I'll like write, you know, this huge epic. By the time I get to page 3 in my head and go, I can't do this.
The stars are going to blow up. Things are coming from the other side. Elephants are over there. The mice are over there. Where is this guy?
I've literally plotted like 10 issues before I've done this third page, and I'm like, okay, forget this. I'm not doing this. This is too much. So sometimes it's better to just plot out exactly and go with it, you know, which I do as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing I say all the time when somebody asks me, is how do you write? It's like, well, sometimes I plot, sometimes I pants. It's whatever it depends.
Yeah, exactly. It varies, yeah. So so it's kind of the same thing. You experiment both with writing and with art, that kind of thing. Okay, so here's my Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/george.todorovsky.1.
And do you guys have a website as well?
Elsewheremedia.com.
And what can you do on that website?
What can you do? Right now, I think it just goes to our shop.
Yeah.
It's in an in-between kind of, we're making changes.
Yeah.
So if you go there, I believe it goes to and my stuff is available actually online.
Yeah.
Although all that stuff is more except for the Bear Stories. Yeah. Bear Stories is not available through the Kickstarter.
No.
But it is available through our
Squared outside. But it's I don't know the link. I was trying to find the link for that.
Yeah, he's looking for the link for that as well.
From what I can see, it's elsewhere-media-store-square.site.
That's the one.
That's the one. Yep. You found it.
Yes, good.
See, I've got my spiders looking all over the place.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Crawling through the web.
Crawling through the web.
Okay. They crawl. Because you know what the thing was? Web Crawlers was a program. I used to have one that you could set off and look for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would find every single hit for something.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember that name. Yes. Web Crawler. Yeah. That's crazy.
Not to be confused with the reboot TV show.
No. That's right. Okay.
So, gentlemen, George, Renee, thank you very much for coming on this episode of After Rot and explaining all about your artistic craft and the sci-fi coloring book. Yes.
Thank you so much for having us. Bye. Thanks so much, Bill.
And, I'm always happy to have you here.
Awesome. Good.
Yes, we'll come back soon again.
We'd love to do this again sometime.
Yes.
Absolutely. And everybody out there in After Rotten Land, have yourselves an amazing, great time. Be well, be happy, be whatever the hell you need to be. But go and buy their coloring book, the Kickstarter. Support.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Thank you. teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please. That's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed, 'cause they're tired little teddy bears. ¶¶